From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. Welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and we are delighted to have you with us on just a few hours before your weekend gets underway. We've got a lot to cover, a lot to bring your way. Let's begin with this clip.
More has to be done. It has to be done not only because they attack Israel, that's bad enough. Not only because they want to kill Jews wherever they are, that's bad enough. It's also, when you listen to them, it's also because they say not only death to Israel, death to the Jews, but death to America. And this tells us that there's an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences.
Wow. That, of course, was Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu commenting on the anti-Semitism that we've been seeing here on the campuses in the United States. And arrests continued on campuses nationwide as administrators crack down on the anti-Semitic protests, and police are clashing both with students and outside agitators who are pushing all the chaos. We'll get a reaction to all of this from Virginia Congressman Ben Klein here in just a few moments. And later in the program, Dr. Owen Strand, senior fellow at FRC Center for Biblical Worldview, is going to bring a worldview perspective on how Christians should respond to this anti-Semitism and how we can and should best support Israel. And the Biden administration has hijacked a law. That may not be terribly surprising, but even less surprising is that this is a law that is meant to protect mothers and support healthy pregnancies. And they have hijacked the law for what reason? Well, to push their abortion agenda. As a result, a group of red state attorneys generals have sued the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in response. One of those, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, will be joining me a little bit later to discuss that important case. And the fanatical pro-abortion agenda of the Biden administration does not stop at the U.S. border. Planned Parenthood's recently released annual report reveals that the abortion mill, Planned Parenthood, received almost $700 million of taxpayer funds for abortions in poor international countries. Ariel Del Turco, director of the Center for Religious Liberty here at Family Research Council, will be joining me to talk about that. So we've got a lot to bring your way. You don't want to miss a bit of it, but in case you do, don't forget our website, TonyPerkins.com. There are tons of available resources there for you, as well as archives if you miss any program. And just a reminder that, and this is very important, so I want you to mark this down, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is right now accepting written comments via email and also what they call a stakeholders listening session. This is going to be taking place next month, but it is designed to seek input to help the HHS Office of Global Affairs prepare for the World Health Assembly that is going to be taking place next month on May 27th. Now, this is an issue extremely important to all of us, and many of you have responded to us against the WHO's, the World Health Organization's, their power grab. Well, now's your time to send some comments. You can respond RSVP, you can send comments, you can join the listening session. If you'd like to participate, and we encourage you to do so, simply text the word WHO, W-H-O, WHO, to 67742. Or you can also simply go to frcaction.org/WHO for more information. So be sure to do that. All right, let's jump on to our first story for today. Anti-Israel and pro-Hamas demonstrations, of course, are continuing to clash with police at colleges nationwide, and as university administrators are continuing to struggle to contain all the chaos. If there was ever any doubt about whose side the Iranian regime was on, yesterday, Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, applauded the activist. Yes, applauded the activist and he did so on social media, but at the same time, he's calling for the United States to cease our support for Israel. Amazing that some people actually in this country are going to be listening to the leaders of Iran as it relates to our relationship with Israel. Well, now, with all the protests taking place and the end of college semesters rapidly approaching, as well as elections coming up in November, many people are asking and wondering if the violence is going to spill over into the summer months. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Ben Klein. He serves on the House Appropriations Committee, as well as the Budget Committee and the Judiciary Committee. He represents the 6th Congressional District of the great state of Virginia. Congressman Klein, welcome back to the program.
Jody, it's great to see you. It's always great to be on the program, but I'm glad to see you today as well.
Well, listen, you and I were at the same event the other day, and unfortunately, when I saw you, the program was already taking place. And then after I spoke, I had to go catch a plane. So I apologize for not being able to speak to you then, but it was great to see you there. And it's great to see you now and just deeply appreciate all that you do. All right, let's start with your reaction to these overall protests that, quite frankly, don't appear to be dying down at all.
No, they don't seem to be dying down. And that's much to the dismay of the Biden campaign team. And it's just uncovering the truth, which is that the radical left, supported by and endorsed by terrorist groups around the world, are doing what they can to stoke unrest across the country, whether it's in the name of Palestine, whether it's in the name, you name it. But these protests are going to continue into the summer, and as it gets hotter and tempers flare, it's the potential for more disruption is evident, and it's going to be very unsettling as the summer goes on.
Wow, so you see this continuing throughout the summer. What do you think is driving all of this? What is the fuel, if you will, behind all these protests, in your opinion?
Well, I do think that it is, over the course of the last several years, we've seen a liberal indoctrination of college students and young people. It doesn't matter whether it's environmental rhetoric or whether it's international support for Hamas or those types of groups. I think a lot of it may be stoked as well by the Chinese Communist Party, as well through TikTok and other types of apps that are on the phones of young people. So not only is it being abused by the left to infiltrate and indoctrinate young minds, but it's being also abused by some of our greatest adversaries to foment dissent and division within American culture.
It's absolutely stunning. And to think of all that fueling, I mean, we have outside countries that are pushing this, and it's amazing how some of these students just jump into all of this. Some of which, in fact, got a clip here. I'd like to, if we can, let's play clip 4, and I'd like to get your reaction to this.
Is there something that NYU is doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're, do you know what NYU is doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
I don't know if you could understand that, but it was a couple of students up at New York University, protesters, and they were asked, why are you here? What are you protesting? And they didn't know. They said, well, I don't really know why we're here. And she looked to her neighbor and said, do you know why we're here? Do you know why we're well, no, I wish I was more educated. So, I mean, you've got all this stuff taking place, and then you have some students out there protesting. They don't even know why they're protesting. They're just jumping in the party or perhaps being paid by someone to do so. But it's just incredible to me. Do you think we're going to see yet another a repeat, if you will, of what happened in the summer of 2020?
Gosh, I hope not. I hope that cooler heads prevail. But when you have examples like that, and I've seen interviews with students chanting from the river to the sea and don't even know what river or what sea they're talking about. So their anti-Israel chants, their anti-Semitic chants, and they don't even know where they come from or what they're talking about. So hopefully they can get educated. Hopefully they go back to class, because that's where the education occurs, and they can finish up their school year and then go get jobs for the summer, because that would actually help a lot, not only the students and their bank accounts, but also the country, and it would avoid the kind of summer unrest that we saw across the country in 2020.
Wow. Well, it really makes you wonder if they're getting that kind of education in some of, I guess, Poison Ivy League schools. It's just incredible. But Speaker Johnson actually indicated this week that Congress should and likely will consider reconsidering the billions of dollars that go into some of these universities. Do you agree with that? Do you think that may have some traction?
Absolutely. And on appropriations, there's going to be a concerted effort to make sure that colleges and universities across this country don't embrace anti-Israel rhetoric or any kind of discriminatory rhetoric against the Israel or Jewish people. So I think there'll be a serious look into that. And I know a lot of my colleagues on the Appropriations Committee not only strongly support Israel, but voted in favor of the funding bill that is going to help them make sure that their Iron Dome is functioning as they receive these hundreds of incoming missiles from Iran and other countries, other places, trying to destroy the Israeli nation. We've got to stand up for Israel, and we'll look within our own appropriations measures to make sure we do that.
Well, that's great to hear, and I would love to see some of these universities take a pretty big hit on some of that funding. You mentioned the Appropriations Committee. There's an effort underway to reform some earmark spending after some fortunate projects actually slipped into the appropriations bills. Tell us about that.
So the appropriations process, there's been abuse of the earmark system, or earmarking funds for a specific purpose. Now they call them something different, community projects. But we have tried to ban them, but the Democrats love them. And so they've been allowed, with the help of Democrats and some Republicans, to keep those in place. And so then we've moved on to trying to restrict them to very limited uses, government funding programs that are either embraced by the state or local governments. And what we've heard from Congressman Tom Cole, the new chairman of the Appropriations Committee, is that he supports not allowing nonprofits to get these types of get this type of funding through these appropriations measures. I think that's right. A great step forward, but I'm not sure it's as far as we need to go.
Well, Congressman Ben Klein, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. Always great to see you, and we appreciate your input, and hope you and your family have a great weekend. All right,
thanks,
friends,
Jody.
Coming up, the Biden administration has turned a law that was intended to support healthy pregnancies and babies into promoting abortion. Stay tuned. We'll talk all about that after the break.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. We appreciate you entrusting this hour of your day to us as we're bringing you the news from a biblical worldview perspective. I'm Jody Heiss, your Friday host, and again, we're honored to have you with us. All right, if you're participating, and I know many of you are, but for those of you who are participating in FRC's Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan, and by the way, if you're not a part of that, you can start at any time. The Bible reading plan is amazing. But for those of you who are a part of it, don't forget to order Tony Perkins' new digital study guide. It's called Joshua Finish Strong. Joshua Finish Strong. I love that title. When I first heard that title, I said it to myself. I said, Jody, finish strong. And I say to you, finish strong. And we want you to have your own copy of this. And to do so, you can simply download it by going to frc.org/Joshua, or you can simply text the word Joshua to 67742. And again, our encouragement for you, jump on the Bible reading plan and finish strong. That's what we're here to do. All right, earlier this year, the Biden administration, and I know this is no surprise to many of you, but they hijacked the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. Now, this was a law that was passed for the purpose of protecting mothers and encouraging healthy pregnancies. But the Biden administration comes along and hijacks it in order to promote abortion, just the opposite of what it was intended to do. But the new rules that have been implemented by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission now literally force employers to grant accommodations for employees to get abortions. Well, in response of all of this, there's a group of 17 Republican attorney generals who have sued the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And joining me now to discuss this is one of those leaders, great attorney general from Alabama, Steve Marshall. Attorney General Marshall, welcome back to the program. Great to have you.
Good to see you, Jerry. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, thank you for your leadership and that of the others of you. Let's talk about, though, the Biden administration, frankly, has just turned this law on its head to represent literally just the opposite of what it was intended. Are you going to be able to demonstrate that in this lawsuit, do you think?
Yeah, Jody, I think it's abundantly clear. I mean, look, this is a wonderful bill. Bipartisan support, and we don't say that very often with things that come out of Washington, to make sure that we accommodate pregnant women in the workplace because we want to have healthy pregnancies and children that come to birth. And so Congress designed this idea that let's make sure that we fill a gap in federal law to ensure that pregnant women have those accommodations they need, extra bathroom breaks, for example, or if you have to sit on a stool and to be able to do your work, that we're acknowledging your pregnancy, want you in the workplace, but we also want you to be safe. And now the EEOC that was tasked by Congress to come out with some very specific aspects of what that looks like now want to make sure that states like Alabama would have to violate state law to somehow or another accommodate a woman who wants an abortion. Alabama's not going to stand for that, along with the 17 other states that are part of this coalition.
Well, thank you so much for standing up. I mean, this is such a brazen repeal of the intent of this law. It's just offensive in every way. And as you said, this was bipartisan. Abortion was not even mentioned in this bill when it was passed. It was all about helping pregnant women and helping them have a healthy pregnancy. How has this change of the rule from the EEOC affected employers in your state of Alabama?
Well, it hasn't affected them yet because we're just now seeing it come to pass. But the aggressive action of me and my colleagues in being able to seek an injunction of this, I think, will be important. And do not expect in the long term that this is going to be impactful. But Jody, back to your prior point, one of the Democratic sponsors of this bill made it very clear on the floor of the Senate that this bill had nothing to do with abortion, assured his colleagues on both sides of the aisle the intention of this bill, and yet despite its clear language, what we see is Biden administration co-opting a valid, appropriate law to be able to enforce this pro-abortion agenda. I know we shouldn't be surprised, but it's one of the reasons why I'm so proud of my colleagues across the country on many pro-life issues, because we're standing in that gap that we need in this country to make sure that we can push back on an administration that's just simply gone too far.
Yeah, you are pushing back, and all of us say a huge thank you sincerely and with as much heartfelt gratitude that we possibly can, because this is just, you know, the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, this is not comprised of elected people. I mean, is it fair to say that this the whole thing's just unconstitutional? I guess would be my question.
No, absolutely. And on multiple grounds that are included in our complaint. This is an unelected, unaccountable group. And let's acknowledge it was a 3-2 vote. So it wasn't as if the entire commission voted to be able to do this. But this was the liberal portion of that panel that decided to embark on this effort. But again, we've seen this on multiple fronts with this administration, whether it be attacking pro-life states like Alabama. We've seen it with this radical gender ideology that's being pushed through multiple federal programs. It's why uniquely attorneys general in this important time in our nation have the opportunity to be able to hold in check. And what we see also with this particular rule is an effort to impose a federal policy of this administration on a state like Alabama, whose law is abundantly clear that we are a pro-life state in our Constitution. We've made it a criminal offense outside of limited exceptions to be able to have an elective abortion, and to somehow or another use an unaccountable body like the EEOC to circumvent valid state law and constitutional provisions. We think we're on solid legal footing to be able to push back and to win.
So we've got about 30 seconds here. So are you saying that you're anticipating a win when all is said and done in this?
Absolutely anticipating a win. It may not get here as quickly as we want. The key right now is attempting to get that initial injunctive relief to be able to hold this rule in abeyance before its full implementation. But we feel very confident about the work of our colleagues, grateful for the efforts of Tennessee and Oklahoma to lead this charge, but do feel strongly that we're going to prevail.
That's awesome. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, can't thank you enough. We're grateful for all the work you and your colleagues are doing. And thank you for joining us this evening on Washington Watch.
Thank you.
All right, friends, much more to cover, so stay tuned. We're going to be talking next about Planned Parenthood. Yep, they're at it again, but this by their own annual report. They are talking about how they are using your tax dollars to promote abortions in poor countries internationally. You don't want to miss all the information that's coming your way right after the break, so stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Well, welcome back, and thank you so much for tuning in today to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and glad to have you on board with us. All right, according to its own recently released annual report, Planned Parenthood received almost $700 million in U.S. taxpayer funds during fiscal year 2022. $700 million. But they're not just using all of that to profit from killing babies here in the United States. Oh, no. They are also promoting abortion internationally with special attention they are giving to infiltrate very poor, vulnerable countries that have legitimate needs. But they're going there in order to dismantle all the pro-life protections that many of those countries have. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Ariel Del Turco. She's the director of the Center for Religious Liberty here at the Family Research Council. And she recently published an article in the Washington Stand on this very topic. Ariel, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you.
Good to be with you.
All right. So the first thing that jumped out to me in all of this is that everything that you're talking about literally comes from Planned Parenthood's own report, and they're bragging about all of this. They're bragging about using nearly $700 million of taxpayers' money. Walk us through just what they're doing with these funds.
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners would be surprised to learn about the presence that Planned Parenthood, an American organization that receives American taxpayer money, has across Latin America and Africa. So they're targeting these poorer countries, and they're going in and they're training tens of thousands of local activists in these countries essentially to be activists for abortion, to change these laws from the inside out and remove pro-life protections that are in these countries. Planned Parenthood, in its annual report, its most recent annual report, bragged that they had overturned in the last calendar year 112 pro-life policies in these countries. So that's 112 places across eight different countries where unborn babies had their protections stripped from them, in large part because of the work of Planned Parenthood. And as American pro-lifers and just Americans in general, I think a big question for us is, why are we funding an organization that is doing that?
That is a great question, and I think it demands an answer. And Ariel, I'll tell you, your article in the Washington Standard is an outstanding article, and I encourage people to go read it. But you refer to Planned Parenthood and all these international efforts that they are participating in as ideological colonialism. That was a powerful statement and a strong word picture. Explain why you use that terminology.
Yeah, I think Planned Parenthood right now is the perfect picture of ideological colonialism. The left supposedly hates colonialism, where the West goes into other countries and imposes its norms. But this is exactly what Planned Parenthood is doing. Planned Parenthood is going into countries where both the law and the culture is very pro-life, where they completely reject abortion. And they are trying to change these countries from the inside out. It's not organic. It's coming from the outside, from Planned Parenthood and from the millions of dollars that they are funneling into these countries. And Planned Parenthood is open in its annual report that 90% of the countries that they work in abroad are countries with these strong pro-life protections. So they're specifically targeting these countries, not because there's some sort of need that they're going in to meet, some sort of practical need. They're going into these countries and these places specifically because of their pro-life laws on the books.
Yeah, that's stunning. 90% of what they're doing going into these pro-life countries that are poor, they have strong legitimate needs of their own, and Planned Parenthood's going in taking advantage of them. I'm sure you've seen all the polling. 67% of Americans either oppose or strongly oppose using tax dollars to support abortion overseas. Ariel, what do we need to do to try to ensure, if you have any ideas on how to ensure that no U.S. tax dollars go to fund abortions or organizations, for that matter, that promote abortions?
Yeah, this is common sense. No American taxpayer dime should be going to Planned Parenthood. This should be a priority of Republican politicians, completely defunding Planned Parenthood and other organizations that perform or support abortion, both at home but especially overseas. And as you mentioned, the majority of the American people, a vast majority, don't want their money going to support abortion abroad. And we need to be listening to the American people on that.
Well, we really do. And it's, again, just to bring up, it's no accident, is it, that they're going to these poor countries that are pro-life?
Absolutely not. These countries are vulnerable. And so when they see a large organization like Planned Parenthood that's able to hand out money, that's able to take people from villages and give them training, that offers certain resources, but with those resources come strings attached. And the strings are that these countries are going to be under a lot of pressure to reverse their laws and their cultural norms that are pro-life. So there are strings that come with working with organizations that like Planned Parenthood. And so we as Americans should be focused on really funding organizations that do support life and that support life abroad, and investing in pro-lifers who are having to now fight off these pro-abortion attacks from Planned Parenthood.
Thank you so much, Ariel Del Turco. We appreciate your hard work and your excellent article at the Washington Stand. And I encourage each of you viewing or listening to go check that out. All right, coming up in our weekly worldview segment, this is on everybody's minds. How should Christians respond to the anti-Semitic protests and the indoctrination on college campuses? Well, we'll talk about that right after the break. Stay tuned.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
And welcome back to Washington Watch. An honor to be with you. I'm Jody Heiss, your Friday host, and delighted to be sitting in for Tony. I want to use this segment as we go into it to springboard on another issue before we get into the issue, because they're all related. But as all of us are watching the dark, literally dark, the chaotic anti-Semitic demonstrations on college campuses throughout our country, as all of that continues, it remains imperative for Christians to stand with and to pray for Israel. And here at FRC, we're calling on believers to commit to praying, to commit to standing with Israel, and specifically for Bible-believing churches to do so collectively. And we're calling on that to take place on Sunday, May the 19th. We're asking churches to dedicate a portion of their worship services to pray for Israel's peace, for their prosperity, for their protection. And if you are a pastor, we ask you to jump on board with this. Or if not, we ask you to talk to your pastor to jump on board with this. And you can learn more and sign the pledge and so forth by visiting prayandstand.com, prayandstand.com. Or you can simply text the word Israel to 67742 to get more information. So we ask you to join us on May the 19th on that Sunday to pray for Israel. And as all of this is revolving around Israel and what we're watching on our college campuses, joining me now to discuss how Christians must support Israel while so many others are turning away from them. But Dr. Owen Strand, he's a senior fellow at the Center for Biblical Worldview at the Family Research Council, and the provost and research professor of theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary. He's also the author of many books, including his most recent, The Warrior Savior, A Theology of the Work of Christ. Owen, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Jody. Thank you for having me on.
Well, listen, before we get into the details of what's happening in all of these college protests, just generally speaking, share with us how Christians should be thinking about supporting Israel. Why is this such a big deal?
Christians have a number of reasons to support Israel. There's going to be a little bit of theological difference among some camps, but fundamentally, we have a number, including our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is a Jewish Messiah. So God chose to cause the Messiah to be born out of the fulfillment of a Jewish line, and Jesus had fully Jewish skin and a Jewish body, and he lived in the Middle East. He lived in a humble town. And so we recognize our Savior and our Messiah and our King as a Jewish Messiah and Savior and King. So that matters to us greatly. We recognize, furthermore, that Paul, in the book of Romans, in Romans 9 through 11, has a good deal to say about his countrymen, ethnic Jews, and he does not indicate that God has given up on the Jews. He indicates, in fact, that God still has salvific plans in store for the Jews, which is wonderful, because he does indicate, of course, that many have turned their back on the Messiah, which is very sad. And yet, we live in hope that God is going to fulfill those good saving promises of Romans 11 to his people. Another major reason, Israel is a democracy in the Middle East, and we want democracies to flourish. Furthermore, we know that in terms of biblical eschatology, there's a lot that Israel plays a part in there. Christians, again, have some different nuances of position on that effect. But suffice it to say, Christians are very glad to stand with Jews. We stand even when many people, sadly, in our culture and our society have turned their backs on the Jews. It's amazing to watch universities that are supposedly devoted to equity and inclusion instead feature all sorts of protests that have various voices calling for the elimination of the Jews. So apparently, everybody gets to benefit from inclusion except Jews today.
Yeah, excellent point. And let's just jump into that. All these universities, that particularly the ones that are involved with it, they have embraced this inclusive mantra and ideology themselves, except when it comes to Israel, and I would say except as it comes, generally speaking, to conservatives and certainly to biblical principles across the board. But what's your take on the protests that we've been seeing breaking out across the U.S. and various campuses?
Fundamentally, I'm going to be on the side of those who believes that we have freedom of speech in America, and part of what makes America so incredible is that you can stand for your convictions in this country and not fear a jackbooted entrance into your home at midnight. So that's a wonderful reality, okay, that everybody can bring their ideas into the collective intellectual marketplace and sort them out and debate them. And I want that kind of environment, of society. I love the First Amendment to the Constitution. I love that we have religious liberty here as a related belief. That's extremely important. And I believe that evangelical Christians should be extremely thankful for that. It's allowed for the explosion of the gospel in America and beyond. But when protests are calling for violence against a given group, when there is speech that indicates that it is a very good thing that Hamas massacred people in October, and when there is furthermore support for Hamas and support for continuing terrorist activity going forward, you're not dealing with just a body of beliefs. You're dealing with something beyond that. And so, Jody, there's a lot to say here, but I would say universities are entirely within their rights to stop these protests, to disperse them wherever there is any hint of violence against Jewish people. And anyone who's paying attention can see that there's all sorts of calls woven in and from, you know, bullhorns and all sorts of things for violence against the Jews. And we Christians, I as a Christian, stand against that to the full, and we should stand against that to the full, I believe.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. Extremely well said. All right. So stepping back, looking at all of this, no question, anti-Semitism is driving a lot of these protesters. But it appears to me that ignorance is also a driving force for some. I played earlier a couple of students who did not even know why they were protesting. And I'm not going to show it again, but we had two students ask, why are you here? And they said, well, I don't know why we're here. And one asked the other, do you know why we're here? And she said, no, maybe we need to be a little more educated on that. So what is all of this? What's going on with certainly anti-Semitism is here, but we have other people just ignorantly jumping into this riotous mob.
Yeah, let's take the ignorance first and then the anti-Semitism. First of all, any student in late April is generally looking for any pretext to get out of class. So as a professor of theology and a three-time graduate of higher institutions, I can say, lots of people are looking for lots of reasons to get out of class. And certainly, honestly, Jody, we shut the world down a few years ago. And so this generation, which would be the 2020 class, at least some of them, they're used to just opting out of stuff friction-free. And so that's not a good thing. We can just say that straight up. There is also all sorts of ignorance. And what many universities, including the elite ones, Harvard, Yale, Columbia, and so on, have turned to is not actually training students to think and giving them a core of knowledge. It's training students to be activists. And so this is the perfect playbook for wokeness. This is what wokeness desperately wants. It wants an activist generation that doesn't even really know what it's activisting about, but yet it shows up on the lawn to protest and tell conservatives and Christians and Jews and others like that how awful they are. So this is going according to plan. The third element here is anti-Semitism. It's been shocking in Christian circles. There's a lot of debate over the phrase Christian nationalism. But honestly, Jody, there have been a good number of voices, weirdly, on the stark Christian nationalist side that have been telling us that anti-Semitism as a concept is a psyop. It's not real. It's what these Jews running the world tell everybody is happening when it's not really happening, because the Jews are just trying to continue their evil schemes that run the world in their global enclaves. And I am not one who knows what's going on at the highest corridors of power in this world. There's all sorts of bad stuff going on. But I can say this: anti-Semitism is not a mirage. Anti-Semitism is all too real. Jewish people are being targeted. Violence against Jews in America post October 7th, as I'm sure you know, has gone up something like 400% in terms of incidents and events. And so I'll just repeat myself. The Jews are definitely being targeted. It is time for Christians to stand up, not in a kind of belligerent way, but in a very principled way, and say, we are against anti-Semitism. We are for image bearers being treated with dignity, whoever they are. And this is not good. And when there is rising anti-Semitism, last thought, that's not like a small little problem. In Western history, anti-Semitism is often the tip of the spear, and very evil things often follow for a society.
Well, so many great points in there. And, it reminded me of what Prime Minister Netanyahu said, that we actually played a clip earlier in the program. He talked about this anti-Semitism and how horrible that is for the Jews, as you're mentioning, and it is not a mirage. It is real. But this is also an attack against Israel. In fact, many of these protesters are literally claiming that to support Hamas means death to America. So this is a widespread problem that is just going, for the most part, just kind of swept under the rug, and people are not recognizing the hatred that is behind it, both for the Jews and beyond. I wish we had a whole lot more time to spend on this, because there's so much here. But in the midst of all this rage, the anger on so many campuses, I could not help but think several instances how much this is in contrast to the revivals that we have seen elsewhere on other college campuses and universities. Of course, we're all familiar with what happened at Asbury last year. But that has spread to multiple other campuses all across the country, with students devoting themselves to worship, to prayer. The university right down the road from where we live in Georgia, University of Georgia, baptizing students in the back of pickup trucks, some 8,000 students participating. Remarkable. How is the contrast here between the pro-Hamas temper tantrums and rioting sweeping other colleges versus revivals that seem to be happening?
Yeah, great point. It really looks today in the West like there are just starkly different visions of the human future. In one of them, wokeness wins. And when wokeness wins, humanity does not win. Wokeness only breeds more division and hatred and despair and suffering and pain. And I cite wokeness because Israel is identified as an enemy of wokeness, because Israel stands for a body of truths, and Jewish identity stands for a heritage that rests in a body of truths. And wokeness despises all of that and wants all of that destroyed. And so a lot of these students we're seeing on these campuses are just the fruit of woke teaching in the classroom. And so that's one way the West can go. The other way the West can go is by honoring America's pro-religion heritage and freedom of thought and freedom of speech and religious liberty. And what that tends to promote, what that has tended to promote in America, is the explosion of the gospel and Christianity being preached freely. And when Christianity is preached freely and the Spirit of God moves, as we've seen at Liberty, as we've seen in Georgia, as we've seen throughout this country, what is happening is that lots of students who are from the lockdown generation, who are getting horrible ideas shot at them in class, like if you have white skin, you're a white supremacist, who hear that America is terrible and we should just divest ourselves of America and destroy basically America. And that leaves a lot of students, Jody, hopeless and despairing, but it also leaves them a ripe target for Jesus Christ. And when you hear the good news of the gospel of grace, that all your sins can be forgiven in the blood of Christ, if all you will do is repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, honestly, there's not a better message than that. So even as we stand against wokeness and terrible ideologies, we celebrate the gospel and the freedom it brings.
That's fantastic. And listen, before I let you go, you've released another book, The Warrior Savior, A Theology of the Work of Christ. We've got about a minute or so. Tell us about this book. What's the message you're hoping to convey?
This book is all about what I was just talking about. Thank you for the question. It's all about the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ shows us God's love. It shows us the extent to which God will go to rescue miserable sinners like us from the depths of judgment, and God has done that. And so a lot of people will talk today against our college kids in church, and they'll say the Old Testament God is evil, and the New Testament Jesus is loving. But all through the Bible, God makes atonement for the sin of his people, and he has done that preeminently in Jesus Christ. So if we ever doubt that God loves us as Christians, where do we look? We look to the cross, and we find assurance.
Well, I encourage everyone to get a copy of that book. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Dr. Owen Strand. Incredible time talking with you, senior fellow here at the Center for Biblical Worldview at FRC, as well as Grace Theological Seminary. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right, friends, that's going to wrap up another edition and another week of Washington Watch. Amazing, it's come and gone so rapidly. But again, let me remind you, Joshua, and the study guide that you can have, Joshua, finish strong. And I say that to every one of you personally, in the name of the Lord Jesus, finish strong. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.
Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.